Hello, 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 and welcome back. Welcome, 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 welcome back to a brand new episode of A Blank Canvas. I'm Cameron, and this is episode 2. It's so fun to be back recording. If you know me, I love to talk anyway, but also to sort of have a conversation with meaning, knowing that at least one person out there is going to listen to this episode and future episodes. Gives me some enjoyment, so thank you. In this episode, I have a weird and wonderful conversation with Nick Flynn, who goes by the online pseudonym The Honey Project. That's his YouTube channel. It's a very, very, very entertaining YouTube channel. You should check it out. But let's get into it. We talk about loads and loads of different stuff. This is episode 2 of A Blank Canvas with Nick Flynn.
Welcome to A Blank Canvas with Cameron Rawson. Cameron
Rawson. Nick Flynn, thank you very much for joining me today. We're neighbours, we're friends. I'd say we're friends more than we are... friends before neighbours. Yes. But we are also neighbours.
We are.
But more importantly, in this conversation right now, I want to talk about the mega content you produce. You've got a YouTube channel, you've got... have you got two YouTube channels now, or is it one of a playlist within?
Yeah, so I've got two. So I've got Honey Project, which is like I do personal vlogs, podcasts, interviews with artists and that, and then I do freelance videography and photo work, and all the such a music videos and stuff is produced on Honey Productions, which is a fairly new YouTube channel at the moment. It's just got like old content on there, but it is building into something which is to come, basically.
And I've got to say, Your work is so good. I mean, your YouTube videos have always been so the concepts have been so great, but the way you've executed them, more importantly, has also been amazing.
Yeah, cheers, man. Much appreciated.
How did you start? How did you find your taste for video production, and what was your first video?
So I used to spend a lot of time like down the skate park, basically. Like that's where I just like grew up, just like skating, riding scooters back in the day, fucking riding blades. Honestly, am I allowed to swear in this, by the way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you fucking cool. Can.
Yeah, sweet. So I used to spend my life down the skate park, and obviously when you go to the skate park, you learn tricks and that, and like there's always one guy that just turns and becomes a filmer, and like I just started filming like my mates doing tricks, us doing tricks, and I started like just really enjoying it, and like rather than just like mashing them together on Movie Maker, I'd always be like, oh, well, I could put an intro in, or I could put this cool effect in, or like, and then I'd type in like how to do this, and I'd like watch skate edits and like see edits in them, and I'd be like, I want to do that. So then I'd like type in like loads of mumble jumble, you know, like when you see something on a video and it looks like a cool rainbow effect or something, and you type in how to do cool rainbow effects. Like I was typing in that shit, and just taught myself from there, got into free running and flips and started making videos of that. And then, just made videos just with my friends, basically, and then took it from that, and then started earning little bits of money from just doing videos for, like, clubs and stuff like that. And then, I had a few YouTube channels with my friends. I had an older one where we just did, like, you know the cheesy videos back in the day, which are, like, I don't know, challenges and, like, ice baths and stuff like that. That channel's, like, it's still out there, but... I'm not going to say what it is. If you want to go find it, go have a look. Do you know what I mean? But so I did that, and then that helped me lead on to basically creating the Honey Project, because I did it that channel with three of my friends. Me and two of my friends, and then they both kind of didn't really want to do it anymore, but I still wanted to do it. So then the Honey Project was born, basically.
The first time I ever sort of shot something was with one of like the first ever iPhones, and my brother, who's 8 years younger than me, so I think he was like 11 at the time, and I was... 18, 19, he did a short video of how to fake an illness for like if you're wanting to try and get off school or whatever. And it's looking back at it was so bad. I mean, obviously it was pixelated to fuck because of just how bad cameras were back then.
Literally.
To be fair though, if you completely, I wasn't even going to discuss this, but do you not find it crazy how you can film 4K on a phone right now?
It's nuts. Actually, it's crazy. Like, my phone is pretty terrible for some reason. I got iPhone 11, but because for some reason when I put the videos I take on my phone into software and then color correct them, tend to go dead like fuzzy and that. I don't know if I'm just doing something wrong or something, but pretty sure I just need a new phone. But yeah, I'm thinking for a lot of my like vlog style videos that I do, the phone is probably the one for like when you're out and about, because carrying a big camera around, class for the B-roll shots and stuff, but also a bit of a pain in the ass to bring out, and it also makes it really attention drawing to yourself. Do you know what I mean? If you're just trying to like vlog your day or something, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I used to watch sort of daily vloggers way back. I don't know why, because if you think about it, the content wasn't even that great. It was just them talking to a little camera for 15 minutes about them having breakfast and watching them make breakfast,
yeah,
which
literally.
Is such a waste of time, such yeah. a waste of time to do, but it was entertaining at the time. Going back to what I was going to ask, Honey Project, where did the name come from? I remember me asking you a long time ago, but I can't now remember what you said in response to that.
Yeah, there's not really like a solid explanation to it, to be honest. So I used to do an engineering job, like a 9-to-5, and I used to sit in that and just think about, like, because this was after the sort of the old YouTube channel ended, and I still really wanted to make videos, and I was like, I want to make a new channel, like, what should it be called? And I was like, I want some kind of cartoon, because I've always loved cartoons, that I could, like, play with, and he's like the character, do you know what I mean? And I could do cartoons eventually and stuff like this. And I used to sit and just doodle on post-it notes like at my desk. And I just I don't actually know where it's come from, but somehow came up with Honey Project. And I was just like, I just remember going telling my friends one day, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make a new channel and call it Honey Project. They were like, why? I was like, I don't really know. Like, I just feel like that is just the name, do you know what I mean? And it's built on that. So yeah.
It is a class name, and for people that haven't seen the branding, you made the branding, and also, can you kind of describe it? Because it's such like a mix of different things, isn't it? I mean, it's so good. But yeah, can you best describe the logo you've got?
So the logo is a little honey bottle. Like there's like an American type of honey, which is in like a bottle shaped like a bear. And that I took that sort of concept and then built on that, and I made a little character out of it, and he's called Hector. And the logo now is just his face and with a big smile, and it says honey in his smile. But that isn't actually the original logo. The original logo, well, the concept idea, I can tell you where that come from. I'm a big fan of Lyrical Lemonade and what Cole Bennett's doing. And I really like the idea that he's got this little lemonade carton as like his little brand icon. And it's something that sticks in your head. Do you know what I mean? So I came up with like a little honey bottle, and it was like, you could see the resemblance between the Lyrical Lemonade and the Hector, the Honey Project logo. But then after that, I had that for a while. And then recently I started Honey Project Chapter 1, because I was just putting out videos sort of when I wanted to create. And recently I've been like, no, right, let's smash this, try and get a video out a week. And then there's some other stuff on top. So I rebranded, same character, just a different style of logo. And yeah, that's it. Came up with that in there. On some post-it notes as well. And I kept all the post-it notes to maybe do a video all about it one day when I release some clothing.
And you can sign them as well, can't you?
I could.
Tell them for like Ethereum, like Logan Paul does for his little Polaroids.
Yeah.
So I also want to touch base, I hate that saying, don't know why I said it, but on your Hector reviews, because I want to know when you're watching, firstly, let's explain that Hector reviews is a...
A series, isn't it? Yeah.
What is it you look for in both a track and also the music video as to whether you like it or not? I mean, I know it's not necessarily the channel's remit, but when you're watching something coming from a perspective of somebody that produces video,
yeah,
what is it you're looking for?
That's a good question. But with terms of in a track, I honestly just, if I vibe to it, then that's just the one. Like, I'm not a music creator. Like, I know my like stuff about music, but I can't look at it from like a producer's point of view or anything like that. So just if I'm like vibing to it and bopping to it, then that's it for the track for me. But video wise, if it's got like a lot of energy, it's not boring. Colors are a big one. I always notice the colors, like, because it you have like color palettes and color schemes in videos, and like you can tell when a video is done well when they stick to like certain color schemes for certain shots and stuff like this. So that's a big one. And yeah, just energy and overall like edits, and just like, you know what I mean, like if it's just a video of like some dude sitting by a tree all the time and then just like singing with the guitar, that's not as entertaining as if like someone's like eyes fall off and then there's loads of slime, multicolored slime coming out or something on like a song. Do you know what I mean? Completely contrasting examples and pretty strange examples to pick, to be honest. But just I don't know. It's a good question. It's a really hard one to explain, but yeah, that's kind of
what,
my answer.
What makes a video producer so good at what they do? I mean, obviously we can look at directors of huge movies like Quentin Tarantino, and you can obviously break down easily. He's got a similar style, but yeah, what do you think? Like, is the sort of key to a successful video or video project?
I do think originality, definitely. Creativity and just originality, basically. You don't want to be like, you obviously can take inspiration from others, but when you come out of like some kind of original concept or original idea, or your video is just unique to other videos, that's what makes it like stand out and be something like great among a lot of other more okay stuff. Do you know what I mean? I guess that's how I'd put it.
Well, music videos, I always find that a lot, especially now, because with things like TikTok and Instagram, obviously video content is king. And I hate saying that because I feel like I work in marketing or something when I say something like that and talking to an artist.
It is true, though.
It is 100%. But I don't know, I feel I see so much video content now. And in terms of music videos, so many music videos are so samey now, where it's said artist in the middle of the shot. Either side, you've got the friends or whatever, or their entourage, and inevitably there's three or four huge supercars behind them.
Yeah, mate, yeah. I see them all the time. I know a few videos. Yeah. Sorry, I'll let you carry on. Sorry, I was about to interrupt there.
No, please, go on.
I was just saying, like, I know a few creators, because we live in Manchester, I know a few creators around Manchester that do just make them sort of videos, and I imagine they're making decent money by doing them, but like you say, every single one is just repetitive, like flashy car in the background, maybe a girl shaking her ass, and like some guy just with a chain on, or like some dude just like rapping or singing or something like this. And like, you've seen it all before, do you know what I mean? You want to come out with some originality and some creativity and put some real like thought. I tell you what is a really good thing for a music video as well, a storyline. So when it keeps cutting between like, so it makes the music video from just like some cool visuals that go with the music to some sort of like a mini movie. Do you know what I mean? Like something like that is awesome.
I was about to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Do you know who Lil Dicky is?
Yeah, of course I know who Lil Dicky is.
So a lot of the music videos he's in, it's like less just him, you know, singing to the rapping to the camera. It's more him, you know, there's more of a storyline to it, which then gives you a reason to watch the music video. I think a lot of people now watch the music videos just to listen to the music. I can't imagine many people will actually sit and, or they're excited for the music video, because there's no like MTV anymore, where I guess that's probably an era in itself. Like MTV music video is a sort of a genre of music video within themselves, because they were probably way better back then.
Yeah.
Because people were literally sitting and staring at the TV. I remember when I used to watch music videos, you'd put on the music channel and it wouldn't just be audio, you'd be seeing the full video as well.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. Like, yeah, that's what, just, yeah. I don't know what to say, but yeah, you're right, you're spot on.
So I want to go back to your Honey Project channel. How do you get your ideas? I mean, some of your ideas are fucking nuts, and I don't know how you've even got them. You're very good at using props. For people that haven't seen...
I do incorporate quite a lot of props. Quite often a lot of strange ones as well.
Yeah. Balaclavas, masks.
Yep.
Where did the ideas come from? Do you force them? Do you sit down? Are you just living your life, making notes as you go along? Oh, that's a good idea. You see something, that could work with this.
Yeah.
How does it happen?
I don't know. So I don't force ideas ever. And quite often I'll never have a set plan for a video. So I'll have like an idea and I know I want this shot. But while I'm doing them shots, I'm like also thinking, oh, this shot would be cool. And I can never just like, even if it's going to take ages, I have to put it in, because otherwise when I watch that video, I'm like, oh, that would have been cool in there every time. So I've got to do it. So like, I don't know. It's just sort of like, as you get in the flow of things, just sort of like comes to me. Obviously, when I'm doing freelance work, I more have to plan it out. And I can do if I really need to. But yeah, just sort of, I suppose, an example of some of the storylines that I do with a lot of props. Have you seen the A New Chapter video, which is like the first one that comes on when you click on my channel?
With no, not yet.
It's like got all the so it basically it's like a full story, and it's like me in my house. This is when like chapter one started, basically. It's like me in my house, and I'm like thinking what to do with the channel. And then, because I hadn't uploaded at that point in like a year or two or something like this, because I'd been making all this chapter one stuff in the background ready for release. So I was like ahead of myself, because with the amount of editing that I put into my videos, it's really hard for me to stick to like a 1 week schedule, because it takes up my full week like completely to edit the video, which is one of the main reasons I started the Hector Reacts channel, to sort of break it up a bit from like the main videos and have some like easier content in between. But yes, that new chapter video, there is some like sort of truth for it. So it starts like of me in my room, and then I'm starting to like think what to do with the channel, and then I like go out to the woods, and I have like an epiphany, but it goes like inside my third eye in my head, and then I turn into a pixel art version of me, and then it comes out of a TV, and then I'm in like a pixel art game, and it's me and Hector, and we're walking down the road like collecting coins. And then it zooms right out my head, and that's like the epiphany. And then I sort of know what I'm doing with the channel, which is like chapter one. And there is like a lot of truth in that. It was just like an explanation of me thinking and like coming up with the sort of idea for the whole chapter one videos and the new scheme and like the new theme for it all. And yeah, I feel like I've lost track of my thought here, but what I'm trying to say is. It's like,
I'm following.
Yeah, it's like some ideas, it depends obviously which video you're on about. Some of them are just completely random and they just pop into my head. And sometimes they're there's like deeper meanings to them, but I show them in like a more happier, like visual way that like you sort of know, you'd know if you know, do you know what I mean? So it's like both two sides to it. Some are random and some are like a deeper thought, I guess.
When you're editing videos, when do you know when to stop? Because I mean, I've done sort of a bunch of creative stuff in the past when it's down to creating video podcasts or whatever, and I just don't know when to stop, with whether it's down to the cutting, the grading, like anything. It's just I don't know when. And I guess it's probably the same with most creatives, even if you're producing music as well. When do you know when you've got the finished project, or do you never have the finished project? You're just sort of happy with it is there and then.
No, I think you know at a certain point when you watch it through and you're happy with it, basically. If you watch it through and you think, oh, I could add this there, I could add this there. But sometimes less is more as well. It does depend on what video you're creating. But if it's something that's going to improve the video, then add it in. And if you watch it all the way through and nothing sticks out and like there's no problems with it, then you've done it. You smashed it, mate.
How long have you been sort of involved with, creating YouTube videos and the like? Have you always watched YouTubers and stuff, or has it been something you've picked up over the last few years? So when I go into the topic of when stars, YouTubers, I don't know what you want to call them, YouTubers, big yeah. YouTubers have sort of beef. Now, I don't really understand. Are they doing, because it's like, okay, here's an example. KSI and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
They both hated each other apparently way back,
yeah.
And now they have a business together. Is that just part of a facade, like a sort of a marketing plan? Or I mean, how the fuck has Logan Paul gone on to become a boxer after being a YouTube vlogger, for example?
Well, literally, well, these days, if you get big on YouTube, you can just transfer your career into anything, because you're just like a celebrity with like, especially with YouTube, you have such like a dedicated fan base that literally they love you for you, whereas like. Say if you're an actor or something, they love you for your movies and who you play in movies, and you have like a select few people who actually like follow you as a person. But with a YouTuber, if you are playing yourself, obviously there's YouTubers out there that play a character on YouTube, such as like Filthy Frank or someone, do you know what I mean? And but now he's doing different things. He transferred his career to Georgie. But yeah, I mean, with the regards to KSI, Logan Paul, now I imagine it is somewhat, you've got to build the hype, do you know what I mean? So with like, they probably didn't like each other because of such as the things Logan Paul did about the suicide forest and stuff like that. I imagine a lot of people didn't like him at the time. but yeah, I think you've also got to build the hype. So when they both transferred into boxing, they had to basically really hate each other, I guess, didn't they, to build the hype around it. If they were just like, oh yeah, we're mates, but we're going to have a fight, like, not as many people would be like, thing, but if you create a beef around it, there's like so many people like get invested in the beef, and then like people start like throwing shade on each other and stuff like that, and it just draws in attention, do you know what I mean? So I think it's a bit of both.
Going away from the YouTube arena, I want to talk about film right now. So there's right. so many platforms right now, just generally. I'm assuming you're a big fan of movies, right?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah. I'd say I'm a big fan, but I know you're probably a bigger fan than me.
What do you think of the amount of, like right now, there's like 7 streaming platforms. Is that good or bad for film? And also, like, the amount of people that are obviously putting their own things onto YouTube as well, like comedians yeah. and stuff like that. They're not relying on platforms, but there's so much choice. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I know. And the thing is as well, like, because, well, Netflix seemed to, like, sort of pave the way with it all, didn't they? But now, like, if you go on YouTube, remember when YouTube used to have, like, one ad every so often? And now you got, like, 2-3, like, unskippable ads before your video. And, like, one of them's always like, oh, maybe you should buy YouTube Premium. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's wanting you to buy some sort of subscription plan and, like, to remove the ads and stuff like this. It's all just going that certain way. But it would be really nice if they just had one which had everything on. But that's just not going to happen, isn't it?
They could all just take an equal cut, well, a percentage cut based on what people are watching. Because, yeah, it's just fucking crazy that things are being brought out all the time. So what are your sort of big plans, future plans for the Honey Project? I know you want to sort of get into freelance work. And what we were saying before we hit record is that both me and Nick, or Nick and I don't know what the right words were there, but yeah. Nick and I both work within hospitality within Manchester. And we were talking about how, for example, I DJ, Nick works in a very huge club. Would you say it's a club? Venue?
It's a venue, yeah, like an events venue.
In Manchester. And we were just discussing how that when you get sucked into the realm of hospitality, it's very fun, but it also distracts you from the things you want to do.
Yeah, 100%.
And pushing yourself and alike.
Yeah, well, you work around alcohol, and alcohol, like it does suck in, like, especially when you do like an 8, 9, 10 hour shift, and you finish at 12 at night. You think, well, I'm not going to go home and start work on the stuff I was working on earlier now. Do you know what I mean? So I might as well go for a drink. But then you go for one, and one's just never one, is it? It's just 2 and then 3. And then you're out till like 6 in the morning, and you fucked it for the next day you feel shit. So you don't get any work done. And like, then you've got work again or something the next day. Do you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like a cycle that you've got to like, well, I'm currently trying to separate myself from it a little bit. Just because it was just taking my focus off what I want to actually do. And coming on to that, what the plan is to turn the Honey brand into like a sort of entertainment brand. So Honey production side of things, or the freelance side of things, which is going to be mainly focused around music and music videos. But then you on the Honey Project channel, you'd have all interviews with the artists, podcasts with the artists, as well as like behind the scenes videos of the creation of the music videos. And then you've got like you've got like vlogs of like my life and what's going on, and maybe even include like, if I get become good friends with the artists and that, do some like somewhat comedic videos with the artists and stuff. So it would be like a sort of hub for like, you'd have the music videos and the music side of things, and then the other side is like entertainment, which would provide, don't know how to explain it, you know, like you have the Genius interviews with the lyrics, and then like that sort of thing. Like, the obviously the business model, honestly, because like I said, I'm a big fan of Lyrical Lemonade and Cole Bennett and everything he's doing over in LA and that. If he's in LA, Chicago, I think. Sorry, might have got that wrong. But that's the business model. I just looked at it and I was like, he's smashing it. Do you know what I mean? He's doing it so cool. He's just smashing it, because he's got Lyrical Lemonade, which is all the music videos, and you've got Lyrical Lemonade too, with like podcasts and interviews with them. So I was like, I want to do that, but also include some kind of like comedic value, and also still make my own videos. So it's like, it's basically just going to be like a music entertainment business. And then eventually, once I get working with a few artists, I would really love to put on shows, such as Honey Productions, Honey Project shows, which would be like
sounds incredible
performances from like all the artists and that, and obviously make like after movies and videos of it and like vlog the night and shit and just all that. But yeah, it's all to come. It's all like very, very in the process. It is very early stages at the moment. So just trying to keep up with the YouTube stuff. And I've got my first music video I've directed myself coming out very, very soon. And before that, there'll be the first, the interview series is called the Off the Shelf interview, you know, because he's like a honey bottle. So it's like he's come off the shelf.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. And also you have like fresh off the shelf. So if it's like the first one there, is with an artist called Incognito, and it's his debut single, so he is technically fresh off the shelf.
A tastemaker.
Yeah, so that's coming out very soon, and then we'll have the music video drop in, and I also filmed a podcast with him, so that is going to be coming out very soon.
Sick. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Given the amount of people that have access to making videos on YouTube now, it's so easy to this applies to both music and I guess YouTube videos, but it's so easy to create something now. Do you reckon it's also made it harder to break into the sort of realms of the big numbers of YouTube, or do you think it was easier 10 years ago than it is now?
Yeah,
or do you think it's easier now?
Yeah, no, it's solid now, especially on YouTube. Like YouTube just doesn't push small creators. Like if you want a like get big now, you've got to be across multiple platforms, whereas like so you've got to be on TikTok with your videos, you've got to be on YouTube, you've got to be on Facebook, Instagram, you've got to be across all of them. Like back in the day, you could just upload weekly on YouTube and that was you. Do you know what I mean? You'd get pushed eventually, sort of thing, and some of your videos would get views, some of them wouldn't, and then eventually you break through. But now it's solid. Like if you want to, if TikTok is the one now, basically everyone's on TikTok, and if you want your YouTube videos seen, you've got to create TikToks about them, and like, yeah, it is really hard. Like 10 years ago, it was so much easier. You could make a chubby bunny challenge, and then that'd be you through the roof, or British Kid Ties American Candy or something, and that would get like a million views. Like, I actually know a guy from Carlisle, and he got a million views on a video of him trying American Candy because he looked like Harry Styles in the thumbnail. That was exactly.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's insane. Crazy. That's insane. But things like TikTok, surely they'll have their time, though. I mean, you think about it, Twitter way back was a big thing, and then that's kind of fizzled off with some people. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, do you think, what's the next thing? I mean, I guess that's the million-dollar question, but
well,
surely there will be another thing.
Well, definitely. But I think at the moment, you've seen Instagram pushing Reels more. Facebook have got like a Facebook videos thing. They're all taking the TikTok business model because of how well it's doing. Like, like people, you know, people spend hours and hours on TikTok, and like that. Literally, I seen something about an Instagram update soon that they got all the pictures when you upload a picture. So you know, like when you swipe through an Instagram Reel, and say there's like a video that's not quite big enough to fit the Instagram Reel, it'll have like a blurred background. That's what the pictures are going to look like now on there. So everything will be a 1920x1080 like full screen thing. So like the one, like, you know, like TikTok.
Yeah.
It's all like one set, one size. That's what it's even all going to be.
Even with still images.
Still images. It'll just be like an image with like a blurred background. If it doesn't fit the 1920x1080, I think. That's what I've seen. I've actually seen it on TikTok as well, which is surprising enough.
I mean, it does make sense, but it makes sense to do something like that. But also, it sounds gross.
Yeah, aesthetically, like,
yeah. Damn. I mean, it is crazy talking about TikTok real quick. It is crazy how this has become such a powerhouse and has created millionaires within weeks and stuff like that. And you know, the most followed person on TikTok right now doesn't even speak.
I know what you mean.
The genius to him.
Yeah.
You know, one second, most followed person on TikTok. I forgot his name.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
KB Lame.
Yeah, the guy that's like does the like this is how you do it hands. Like what? The
yeah,
that guy.
145 million views.
That's insane.
Followers, way more views. Yeah, the population of the UK is only like fucking 70 million. That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's absolutely insane.
And it's crazy that people have built, like you know, when Instagram first came out, people were like, it was like 10 million was the highest, and then 20 million was the highest, and then it went up gradually. But like TikTok, I swear, like people, where was it? Like Charli D'Amelio, like they rocketed to 100 million followers in like a year after it came out. Do you know what I mean? Like, it took no time at all to build this crazy following, but yeah, it's nuts. But
is it not? With
music and that as well. I was watching Baby No Money interview before, and he was saying that, like, you know his song La 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 La
when I popped off.
Yeah, he's saying that that song, like, by itself on like Apple Music and Spotify wasn't doing that well, but it blew up on TikTok. And because it blew up on TikTok, it's got like 500 and something million views now. Like, it's and like on YouTube and mad. Like, yeah, it's went like it's a platinum like selling record, and like TikTok can take like just like if something blows up on TikTok, like it blows up. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, again, going back to TikTok and alike, it's I've interviewed a lot of musicians in my time for different companies and media companies and whatever, and every time I've sort of befriended a musician, I've always seen them talk about recently how a label has approached them being like, we need you to make a song that's for TikTok. And it's like,
yeah,
what? Like, it's become a genre in itself. Like, labels will have like indie, rock, dance, hip hop, TikTok, Gary, you know, like it's become a genre of itself because we're consuming content so quick. And it's crazy. I mean, how at what point are we going to stop wanting to watch long form stuff because, you know, we're watching dumb videos of God knows what on TikTok? I think it could be in China. I think it's China where they after like 15 minutes, they stop you using TikTok because they don't want the youth to turn fucking stupid, basically.
Man.
And also they a lot of their videos are more educational. Yeah. China TikTok rules.
That's actually nuts.
Rules.
Yeah, if you look at the length of songs these days as well, they're all like songs are like 2 minutes, like 3 minutes max. Do you know what I mean? Whereas back in the day, like songs were 5 minutes, like 4 or 5 minutes, and then 6 or 7 minutes, and like the length of songs is getting shorter because people's attention spans getting less, so they won't listen to the full song. Like, my girlfriend, she only listens, it's so annoying, we'll be in the car, we'll be driving, and she'll put a good song on, and she'll listen to like 20 seconds before putting the next one on. Like, just got no, can't listen to the full song. It's like, it annoys me because certain tunes are good tunes, and you want to listen to the full song, but yeah, people's attention span is just getting less and less.
Yeah, it's the same with when I'm DJing as well, so I'll be playing a song, and I will never let it play the whole way through, not because I don't want to listen to it the whole way through. I just know people will start getting twitchy because the song's been on for longer than, you know, 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, going back to this, I've just Googled it now. So in China, they have their own version called Douyin, Douyin or whatever.
It's like TikTok?
Yeah, they've got their own TikTok in China because TikTok's banned in China.
Crazy.
But what they do is if you're under 14, you can only use the app for 40 minutes a day. And you're only allowed to use it between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m.
Whoa.
So they actually, they disallow you using it at early or late hours. Which, I mean, fair play, because why would you want your 14-year-old to be watching, you know, and 2 hours worth of dogs like stamping on pianos or some shit?
Yeah,
I don't fucking know.
And the thing is, as well, people spend so long on it, I've done it before when I've been rough. I've spent like 8 hours of my days and been just flicking through like absolute turd on TikTok. Do you know what I mean? Like, my girlfriend loves it. She's always on it. Like, every 2 seconds, she's just on TikTok. But it is absolutely nuts. It's probably not a bad show, to be fair, that a China rule, but I guess it do be a pretty annoying as well, especially if you're like halfway through like a proper good video and it cuts out. It's like, oh, sorry, mate, your 40 minutes is up.
Yeah, I mean, I have a notification on my Instagram to tell me when I've been on it for more than 30 minutes in a day.
Oh, really?
I mean, it doesn't kick me off of it. It just tells me, it doesn't like go, oh, you need to get off. It just says, yo, you've been on it for more than 30 minutes. And I hit it every single day of the week, which is really depressing, because really the majority of people I follow, I don't really give a fuck about.
Yeah,
like,
not
to be nasty. I just don't.
I feel you completely. Snapchat stories is another one. I'll sit there and I'll like look at a few people's Snapchat stories. I'm like, why am I even looking at this? Like, I don't actually give a shit about what the hell you're doing, but like, I'm still sat there flicking through like people that I knew from years ago or people that I met on holiday, like looking at the fucking them like drinking coffees in a Starbucks. I'm like, what am I doing? Do you know what I mean?
And it's also, it's I mean, if you think about it, like when Black Mirror, did you ever see Black Mirror, by the way?
Bits and bobs, yeah.
So when Black Mirror came out first, I think it was like, I think it must have been like 20, when was it? 2011. So that's obviously 11 years. If you look at the first episodes, what they're sort of being like, this is what the future's going to be look like. It's grim. It's already happened now. It's there's so much that's happened now, and it's just so, it's so bizarre with how, and it, again, like with the whole Snapchat and Instagram, we just want to, well, for me anyway, I just want to clear the top bar, if that makes sense. Like, where all the filled in circles are or whatever, it just becomes like a sort of OCD that I want to see everything, even though I really don't care about seeing things, you know. And it's also so fake as well. Like, I mean, it's,
There should be a setting where you can turn off, like, other than like your close friends, you can turn off stories. Because, like, it does just suck your life away sometimes.
But that's the point, though, isn't it? That's what they want, though. They want us to stay on. Have you seen the new filter where there's, like, that weird, large, red, like, wearing being, like, I don't know, it's like a...
No.
I don't know what it is. It's, have you not? Wait, so there's, like, there's this new type. Are you on your, you're on your computer, aren't you? Type in Horace Instagram, Horace Instagram.
It's a new
filter. Just go on Google. I'm Google Images. It's a brand new filter. It's, people know what I'm talking about if they've got Instagram. Go on Images.
Yeah, I'm just seeing like pictures of Chris Brown flirting with a Mika Harris, apparently. And Taylor Swift. I don't know why I'm seeing this shit, but yeah, I'm not seeing what you're seeing, I don't think. Calvin Harris. Wait,
no, go on 1 second. So go on the thing we're recording on, like on the Riverside thing, and then it says chat on the top right, and that's what I've just searched.
Okay. Chat. Okay, cool. Welcome to Riverside. Oh, no.
the one below.
I spelled Horace completely wrong.
So type that in.
You spell it like Horace Slughorn. Oh yeah, no, I've seen this guy. Yeah.
Right. How like, do you know what I'm talking about? It's so fucking weird.
It is strange. It's cool as fuck, but I like him.
It is. It's so West, if you think about it. It's like, it's so like weird and Western, but yeah, it's I mean, I think he started out as nude, but they had to put clothes on him because Instagram...
Yeah, I've got a picture of me with his little titties out and that.
Yeah, I guess I can see that too.
You know when you put this on the blank canvas Instagram, just put a picture of that and put on the project.
Yeah, people will be more aware then, won't they? They'll be like, no, this is what we're talking about. It's also super clickbait if I do that.
True.
People will be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
That'd be so funny.
So for the people listening, Nick and I have been considering doing a podcast together. We sort of said ages ago we were going to do one.
We did.
And we never got around to it because of what we discussed earlier about,
you know, with hospitality, our jobs, work.
Hospitality. Yeah. Maybe we should do a podcast about hospitality and how it's so like unique in a world. People say like banking must be like weird, but I imagine obviously being more money in banking, but in terms of the lifestyle, it's pretty fucking West when it's down to hospitality, if you ask me.
Yeah, especially the hours as well, like, because sometimes you go into work at 7 o'clock at night and then you're not coming out till 1, 2 in the morning, and like then you've done like so many hours shifting, you've been around alcohol for ages, so you're like, oh, fancy a drink, do you know what I mean? We sound like two alcoholics here, but it is true. It's just so easy to go down a path. You're like, I'll just go out for the one, you know what I mean?
Literally.
And then there's a bar around in Manchester called Seven Oaks, which just is, it just shouldn't exist really, should it? It just like, just sucks your life out of you.
Until 10 a.m. every day of the week. Nick, I want to finish on a question I ask all my guests, which is, if I gave you a blank canvas, what would you paint on it and why?
Ooh, I would paint, so I've had this idea, this is probably not the sort of answer you're looking for, like, but I would paint, I've had this idea for a stencil, like a graffiti stencil, like a two-layer stencil, and it's just a simple, it's the eyes of Hector, and it says Honey Project underneath, and it's based off the Obey Icon Eyes, if anyone knows what that is, the Obey Icon Eyes image, and it's just like a black and white version of Hector's eyes, and it says Honey Project underneath, and I would paint that because I've been meaning to make that for a while, and this is probably like just grassing myself in here, but oh yeah, I want to go spray it around Manchester and that, to be honest. So I think it'd be sick, because a while ago I put up all them posters, can you remember?
I remember yeah. Seeing them near the apartment building. That was that was mad, because I remember when you first started talking about it, and I suddenly was like, whoa, what the fuck. Then yeah. I crossed the road and saw more, and I was like, damn, this guy's been busy.
250 or 300 posters around Manchester. Just slapped them up with some glue and shit like that. To be honest, most of them have disappeared now. I have looked about for them, and they even put so on round the corner from us, weren't they all up that wall? They were like, there was like hundreds of them like up the wall, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Like on the way to courtyard. Yeah. And they've put completely new cladding up now. So it's like all for a big fresh canvas, literally. It's a blank canvas.
Oh, perfect.
So
perfect for you. Off you go.
Some spray paint, and yeah, I reckon so. Probably just grass myself in there if like not that like the coppers on the other end of this line, like, ah, the little bastard, I'll get him, do you know what I mean? Writing notes, but...
he lives at. I'll delete that out. Yeah, I'll beep it.
Fucking dog come knocking.
Nick, thank you so much for your time today, man. It's been fun talking to you about this, that and everything, or whatever the saying is. I don't know what it is, but yeah, thank you.
No, it's been good. Enjoyed it, Paul. It's also my first ever podcast, and... I'm looking forward to many more. I was a bit nervous starting it, I'm not going to lie. I think I was maybe rambling at the start, but
that's
yeah,
what
really
it's all about.
It. Yeah, it's been good.